Morning, everyone. So I made all these notes here, but I'm probably going to deviate anyway. Up to about 3 or 4 months ago, people talk about backsliding. And I would say that I had backslidden quite a bit, where you forget what the Lord has done for you. And sometimes the Lord just gives you a bit of a gentle reminder just to remember what He has done for you. Before I start, I just want to ask a question. And if everybody can just hold on to that for themselves. If I had to die today, every breath that you take is given to you. If I had to die today, where would I go? I just want you to hold that thought while I go through this. After about 3 months ago, I was in my classroom, going through my phone, looking at stuff on YouTube, and this testimony came up from a gentleman who had something to say. So I found it interesting. I thought, let me just click on it and see what he has to say. And when I listened to this testimony, it had quite a profound effect on me. And I believe the Lord spoke to me through that testimony and reminded me of what He had done for me over the last 20 years or so. The experience that I had in that classroom was the same experience that I'm going to speak about a little bit later on. So, I would consider myself a Christian, yes. Probably the lowest of Christians. A work in progress. And totally undeserving for what He's done for me. And the main reason why I'm standing up today to tell you about this is because when I had that experience 3 months ago, He put it on my heart to stand up here and tell you. And it's a form of worship, honor, thanksgiving. So I'm going to share this with you. I grew up with loving parents. They've always been there to support me. I couldn't have asked for anything better, any better parents. They've always been there. I grew up in a Catholic home. My mom was over there. And we always went to church every Sunday, religiously. When I was about 10 years old, we went to confession. And I don't know if any of you have ever been there or done that before, but you go in this little cubicle, and the priest is on the other side with this curtain drawn. And when you go to confession, you have to say things in a certain way. There's a certain format that you have to follow. Don't ask me to tell you now. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I completely messed it up. And the priest that was on the other side was an old priest. He was way over 80. Very, very old priest. And he gave me a really, really hard time because I couldn't remember my first confession. That little flame that I had in me back then when I was 10 years old completely extinguished. He snuffed it out. And I thought to myself, if this is how it's going to be, what am I doing this for? Anyway, so life went on. School was tough for me. I always battled through school. I went to communion, first confession. To me, it was more about the girls. Those Catholic girls are really pretty. And as I grew up, slowly backslide some more, nightclubs, alcohol, strip clubs, aggressive behavior. And I was actually, I would say, angry at God at that time because I couldn't understand why He would make me, how I would have to battle. Everything for me was a battle at that time. I felt that I'm in control. I'm in charge. I'm my own God. I make my own destiny. I can remember every now and again picking up the Bible from my Christian background, reading it, didn't make much sense. I had this idea that perhaps the Bible was just written by a bunch of Jews to make money. In 1998-1999, I worked on a farm. It was hard work, but the work was okay. I stayed on my own in a little cottage. The cottage that I stayed in, apparently someone had died in there, and there were evil spirits hanging around. And just to acknowledge how far I'd backslidden, I actually got a Sangomian to come and get rid of those evil spirits and do their thing. While I was working on the farm, I met a lady named Jackie. She was a tarot card reader. We became pretty good friends. She was a barmaid that used to work in the local pub. And we used to visit every now and again and chat. And we became pretty good friends. She eventually moved onto the farm. So we used to sit and chat quite often. And I met another barmaid named Belinda. She became my girlfriend at the time, moved in with me. She was a practicing witch. I found it intriguing. My parents couldn't stand her, but I didn't really care. Very dangerous to go into that kind of thing, now looking back. And I'll tell you why a little bit later. So I worked on the farm. That relationship with Belinda lasted about 10 months. She eventually left, went overseas. Thank heavens. That was the end of that. And then I decided that I wanted to start my own little business, my own little welding business. So I joined a school called Kim's Welding School. I left the farm. Again, my parents were there to support me. I mean, I didn't have much money to support myself. They helped me through it. And I joined a school called Kim's Welding School to learn to become a coated welder. The idea was to work eventually on oil rigs and weld pipes and all that kind of thing. Didn't work out that way, but that's okay. And Kim was a pastor, and his father, they ran the school. And every day we went there, before we started our classes and our studies, we used to open in prayer. I didn't pay much attention to it. I was just there to learn how to weld. I can remember, it was in Jacobs, I can remember often driving home, someone would ask for a lift, if I could drop them off somewhere, and I would give them a lift. And often, strangers would sit in their car and they would start to preach to me about God. Didn't pay much attention. But when I look back now, God is a gentleman, or Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. But if I look back now, I could see that he was slowly starting to knock on that door. Around about this time, I was sitting with Paul one day. Paul sitting over there. Thanks for coming, Paul. And we were just having a conversation. I was sitting in his office. We were having a conversation. Can't remember what we were talking about. And I mentioned the Lord's name in vain. And Paul looked at me and he said, "Do you know him?" At around about this time. And it kind of hit me quite hard at that moment. And I thought to myself, you know what, I actually don't. I actually don't know him. Things went on, kind of forgot about it. Started my own little welding school. I mean, started my own little job. I was welding burglar guards and gates and making balustrades. I was doing work for Virgin Active, repairing all their gym equipment and things like that. And I was driving along Springfield the one day on my way home from a job. And there was this car driving behind me and lights were flashing. And I thought, why on earth is this person flashing me? So I pulled over to the side to allow this person to go past. And it was Jackie, the tarot card reader. And she said, pull over, pull over. So I pulled over, got out the car, gave me a big hug, said hello, everything. It was pretty quick because we were on the side of the freeway. We exchanged numbers. And she said, I'll meet you. Let's go out for lunch, or I'll meet you at the pavilion somewhere and we can sit and catch up. So I said, no, that's fine. Which is what we did about a week later. And we met up with lunch. We sat down, we were chatting. And she looked at me halfway through the lunch and she said, you know that I broke my crystal ball. I said, okay. She said, you know that I burnt all my tarot cards. I said, okay, why? What happened? She says, no, I gave my life to Christ. I said, okay. She said, why don't you come to church with me? I said, that's not for me. I don't need to go to church. I'm doing just fine. It's not necessary. But she kept pressing me. Met her for lunch again. Asked me a second time. Said, come to lunch with me. I mean, come to church with me. Just give it a try. Now, the church that she went to was a Hillcrest Christian Fellowship. And that summer it was a little hall like this. Very charismatic church. So I eventually decided just to go, to stop her from all the nagging. Because I thought, if I eventually go, she'll just get it done and she'll then quit. So I said, okay. I eventually went with her. And I remember the first time I went with her, she gave me a Bible. I still got that Bible. And I held this Bible and it felt like hot coals in my hand. I felt extremely uncomfortable. I went into the church. I felt extremely out of place. Very, very uncomfortable. And it just shows you how, if you talk about backsliding over a number of years, you drift slowly further and further and further away from God. You don't even realize it. Eventually you become an enemy of God. You don't even realize it. Went to that first service with her. Went home. Life went on as normal. Phoned me again a week later. You come to church with me this Sunday. I thought, oh, I went with you already. Do I have to go again? Yeah, no, come with me again. Come with me again. Little did I know that she had literally the whole congregation praying for me at that time. So I went the second time. Again, nothing really happened. Just went to keep her happy. And I thought after the second time, maybe she'll just leave me alone. On the fourth time, I agreed to go with her. And that was the day that everything changed. Little did I know what was about to happen. And Peter, the pastor, was standing up there on that day, and I can remember he was talking about repentance, making a 180-degree turn from your old way, turning around and going a new way. And I remember listening to that sermon, and I just realized God put that spirit into me. I just realized how rotten I really was. How far away I really was. And I felt dirty. Completely dirty. And I remember sitting down, everyone was standing up, I was sitting down. And I remember just bowing down my head. And I said, you know what, Lord? I surrender everything. Here I am. In my sinful state. This dirty person. I just give it all to you. Everything. My life, my business, everything. And I can remember sitting there, and the only way I could describe it is as if someone had a bucket of hot oil, or not hot oil, warm oil. If you bow your head forward like this, and they pour it over you, and I felt this warm sensation flow over my body of pure love. Despite of how rotten I was, He took the time to love me and forgive me. And I knew at that moment, despite all the things that had happened in the past, that I was forgiven. Completely forgiven. Completely washed new. A new person, a new creation. I couldn't stop crying. I sat there and I cried and cried and cried and cried. I just couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stand. I just had to sit there. I remember driving home. I don't know how I drove myself home. But anyway, I drove myself home. And like the first question I asked you in the beginning, I realized that if I had been killed on my way to church that morning, I would have gone to hell. And I realized that I had been killed on my way home from church that morning, I was going to go to heaven. Because I was completely forgiven. I got home, went in my cupboards, all of my Penthouse magazines, took them out, all of my naughty DVDs, took them out, burnt the whole lot. Got the Bible, sat down, started reading the Bible, and the miraculous thing is that I actually understood what I was reading. It actually made sense to me. And I realized that that profound experience that I had, the Bible is 100% accurate, 100% true. There's no left or right. It's 100% accurate. And I realized that then and there that day. So after that, I began my Christian walk as a new person in Christ. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm enjoying this walk with us together as a new Christian. But I need a partner to do this with. I had girlfriends in the past. It never worked out because I tried to do it my way. Let's do it your way this time. And I went to Virgin Active the one day and I was doing a welding repair or fixing dumbbells or whatever. And I met Cheryl. And I looked at her, and I just knew straight away, this is the woman I'm going to marry. Hadn't even asked out yet. I knew this is the woman I'm going to marry. And being in the welding business, I was always scruffy and dirty, and her always full of grease, and I asked her out for a cup of coffee. She actually said to me she had to check her diary. So I gave it a couple of days and I asked her again and I said, oh, are you going to do this? Are we going to go out for a cup of coffee? And she agreed. And then we went out for a cup of coffee and the rest is history. Here we are still today. Do things God's way and things work out. So I was lying down or sitting down one morning. One evening, can't remember, reading my Bible. And I had this vision or a premonition. I don't know what you want to call it. It was a signboard written with a black background and yellow writing. And it said, a touch of class. And the Lord said to me, gently, in his spirit, I want you to go there. It's someone you need to speak to. Someone you need to tell something. So I sort of put it off for a while. And then I phoned Jackie. And I said, Jackie, this is what has happened. I've had this vision. And I've been told in the spirit to go and do this place. And she said to me, if this is what you've been told to do, you do it. So we started to make plans to go. She said she'll come with me. She said, always go in twos, never go by yourself. So she said she'll come with me. I said, okay. Leading up to this, just before we decided to do this, you talk about the enemy that attacks you or demonic attacks. Now, I don't know if this was related to the girlfriend that I had before that was a witch. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but it was about a week before we were going to go. I was lying on my bed. I was just lying there. I had a dog that used to stay with me. Only this time I felt a weight get onto my bed, but there was no dog. The room filled with the stench of rotting flesh. And I felt this weight crawl up my bed, and my ankles were clasped, and my hands were clasped, my wrists were clasped, and I was pinned down on the bed with this weight up on my chest, and I couldn't move. And I could sense this evil presence inside the room. It was definitely an attack. And I was very, very afraid, because I didn't know if I was going to survive this. And for the first time, instead of calling out to him in blasphemy, I called out to him for help. And I said, in the name of Jesus, just leave this place. And it left instantly. So it just goes to show you how much power there is in the name of the Lord. So we made plans to go to a touch of class. Got in a van, we drove down there. She gave me a little, like a book marker with a little picture of it with Jesus on, and it has the John 3:16 message on there. So we drove down West Street, Smith Street. I can't remember which one it is in, but anyway, we went down to Durban. We stopped just there, that yellow sign was, said a touch of class. We stopped short of it. She said she'd wait in the car, and I said, I'll go. I went in there. That uneasiness that I felt the first day that I went to church was the same uneasiness that I felt when I walked into that escort agency. The air was thick, was evil. A whole bunch of women in there, don't know how many, but there was quite a few. And I went to the reception and I said to her, I'm here to see a lady. And she obviously said, well, it's going to cost X amount. So I paid. And any extras, you have to pay more. So that's fine. And she took me through to the back into a lounge area. And there was a couches and a table. And I sat down there. And obviously, you get the VIP treatment when you sit down there. All these women around you, sitting next to you, running their fingers up the back of your neck, all that kind of thing. And I can remember sitting there looking at all this woman, and I was thinking, Lord, who on earth do I talk to you? You're going to have to show me, because I just don't know. What do I do now? And while I was sitting on the couch, they gave me a cup of coffee, and they were all talking nice things and all the rest of it. And I looked around the room, and there was a passage down to the side, and there was this lady standing in the passage, not in the passageway, but at the beginning of the passageway with the light behind her. So all I could see was a silhouette. I couldn't see her face. I could just see her silhouette outline. And the Spirit said to me, that's the lady. So I said to them, I've decided who I'll go with. I'll go with that lady over there. Anyway, so they all left me alone, and I went up with that lady, and she took me by the hand and she walked me down the passage into a little room or cubicle that's got a bed and a bedside table. And she said to me, sit down, make yourself comfortable. Make yourself comfortable. Here's a beer. She gave me a beer. She said, I'm coming now. I'm just going to get myself ready. Okay. So I waited for a few minutes and she came back. When she came back, she started to undress herself. And she said to me, oh, you haven't undressed? I said, no. And she started to undress herself, and I stopped her. I said, don't undress yourself. Oh, you just want to talk. You're one of those. You just want to sit and chat. Yeah, just want to sit and chat. And I said to her, I've come to give you a message. And she said, okay. She sat on the side of the bed. I said to her, I've come to tell you that Jesus loves you so much that he died on the cross for you. and he wants you back. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She went as white as a sheet. And then she started crying. And she said to me, "My father is a pastor." And she said to me that a few months before that, they had had a fallout. And she had left home. And she tried to make it on her own and it didn't work out. And that's how she ended up in that escort agency. So we sat there for a moment. She even told me her real name. I can't remember what it was. We sat there for a while, sat and chatted. And we shared a moment that was not impure, that it would have been like normal between a man and a prostitute. It was something special. And she told me that she was going to go back home. A while after that, Paul invited me to the Mighty Men's Conference with Angus Buchan. It was in 2008. It was an experience witnessing how those men worshipped. 60,000 men, I think it was, at that time, under that massive tent. And the one night we were walking home through the field, through the cane fields. It was on Angus's farm. And we were walking through the cane fields after worship. And it was myself and a few other men. I can't remember who they were. And we looked up in the sky, and it was a clear sky. And there was just one cloud in the sky with a full moon. And this cloud moved over the moon. And in the center of the cloud came the formation of a perfect cross. And that's what I saw in that Mighty Men's Conference. That evening, I prayed to the Lord and I said, "Lord, it would be nice to have a son that Cheryl and I could have and we could raise in a Christian home, teach him in the faith, teach him your ways." It was less than a year later, Daniel was born. What I'm trying to say is, put yourself into God's economy. Give everything of yourself to Him. Trust Him. Being a Christian is not easy, but at least you're not alone. He's there with you every single step of the way. Maybe you have doubts. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you don't even believe. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we go back to the beginning again. I ask you, if you had to die today, where would you go? I know where I'm going, and I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I know where I'm going. And I look forward to that day when I can look into His eyes and see the one who saved my soul from eternal death. Maybe I'll fall flat in my face. I don't know. I'll have to wait and see one day. But I look forward to that day. So I'm asking you, are you looking forward to that day? That's all I have to say. Thanks. Awesome stuff.